Our scripture this morning, I'm going to read in just a minute, but I want to set the stage. Because as we listen to this scripture, I want you to really be able to get into it. We have been preaching on a legacy series, and the persons who come to us and the scriptures that come to us is part of our legacy. And the one that we're going to hear today is about a woman and her encounter with Jesus, and she doesn't even have a name. Let me set a stage. You're going to hear in this story about a well. It's called the Well of Jacob, Jacob's Well. And it is actually, we think, still in existence today. It's one of the few places that you may be able to go and have pretty good authority that it's the original. Jacob's Well was dug hundreds of years before Christ, and they say it's still some of the best water that you can get for miles around. In our story, I want you to also understand that Jesus went into a territory that was very, very different for him. He ventures into Samaria, and he crosses in doing that boundaries that separate, that excluded in his day and age, because he is aware that he is not welcome in Samaria. His religion holds that he will be contaminated by the unclean mixed-race people of this land. But he goes. And he encounters this person who is probably the most opposite of the Nicodemus that Mike preached about last week. She is a woman, a nameless Samaritan woman, who goes to the village, we're told, at high noon to fill her jar with water. Now she goes, and in some ways it may have been some of her attempt to disguise who she was, because she didn't go when other women went. They would have gone when it was cooler. So she kind of sneaks in. She's a woman. In the prayers of men at that day, literally, sometimes you could hear them say, "Thank God I am not a woman." That's hard for us to imagine, that men and women couldn't speak with each other in public. In fact, not only couldn't they, but if the woman, as a man, you saw in public was your own wife, you could not speak to her. Imagine what that would feel like, to not even be acknowledged outside your own home by your husband. You know, we're used to being able to sit down at the water cooler or at a cafe, have a cup of coffee, and joust, talk back and forth. Not in this day. And that's part of the background you need to hear as we hear this story. Some rabbis actually taught that it was better to bury the Torah, the Holy Scriptures, than to entrust it to a woman. Pretty tough stuff. There was a group that was kind of known as the Bruised and Bleeding Pharisees, who, when they saw a woman coming towards them on the street, would close their eyes and walk in the opposite way, bumping into obstacles and get bruised and bleeding sometimes. This is the woman that Jesus speaks with. Now, as you get ready to hear this story, I want for you for a moment to imagine that you are this person at the well that Christ encounters. What would you want to talk about? I want you to imagine for a moment that the person at the well is someone that you know who would be the least likely to sit and talk with Christ. Let us stand and hear our gospel lesson. From the fourth book of John, beginning with the seventh verse. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask of me for a drink, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw more water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not even your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, and you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as those to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he. I am he. I am he who is speaking to you." May God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of this His holy word. So if it was you who was at that well, what would you talk about? What would you talk about with Jesus? What would he want to talk with you about? Or this person that I asked you to image, the least likely person to sit at the well with Jesus? What would we need to hear? What would we need to say in the presence of Christ? This story grips us because all of us know what it's like to be wanting, to be thirsty, to need to be heard, to need to be in Jesus' presence. And yet, as Mike said with the kids, we hide. We hide from each other and we hide from God. There are three things this morning that I want to suggest that we receive in this story. And the first is that we learn as Jesus listens to this woman, how much we need to be heard, really heard. And in that hearing, as Jesus did for the woman at the well, we receive hope, not despair. He could have listened in a very different way, and she would not have received hope, but rather she would have received despair. You ever sat down with somebody and really, really wanted them to hear you? To hear you. But maybe their mind was someplace else, or there was something they wanted to tell you so much they weren't listening. Yesterday, I was on my way to Jordan's Eagle Scout event and stopped for gas. And I pulled into a gas station, and while I was pumping gas, I overheard a conversation of a dad and his kids. And I just kind of listened in, and it was very interesting because as this guy talked, and he talked with his kids, they were laughing about the size of some kid's head, this big head. And I'm listening to them, and they're going on and on. And I found myself, honestly, really kind of curious, so I waited a bit with the car. I cleaned my windshield, which I never do. Jim Browning does, but I don't clean my windshield. I'm in modern-day Samaria where women... No, I'm kidding. Anyway, I'm standing there, and finally, this kid comes out from the gas station. And he does. He's gone. This kid, a big head, big head, gets in the car, his mom, and they take off. And this dad starts laughing with his kids about this kid's head. And I got to be honest, I'm kind of chuckling too because they were right. It was gargantuan. And the dad said, you know, I think this would go into the Guinness Book of World Records. Well, about that time, this man's daughter says, but Daddy, the head wasn't so big. He was hungry. He was hungry. And the child was. You see, the child's head wasn't that huge. But the body was that emaciated. The body was small. I don't know if the child was sick. I don't know if it was poverty. But this was a hungry, thirsty child. And the little girl could see it. We need to be able to, as we share our story, be with people who will really listen beyond the big head to our needs. Leonard Sweet, who is the dean of the theological school at Drew University, says these words, "Our society is experiencing a greater spiritual hunger than our nation has ever seen. But the problem is that people are not turning to the church as a place to find answers and a solution to that hunger, that thirst. Instead, they are following after gurus and self-help books and the New Age movement and all those places where you can custom design your own God to have the God that you need at this time in your life. Unfortunately, they're not going after the true God." The story of the woman at the well helps us get a glimpse of something of the true God. The true God who looks beyond what we try to present, who knows us, who knows us. We, you and I, spend a lot of energy hiding and trying to hide from God. We do thirst. We are hungry. We need to be heard. The woman at the well sits down with Christ, and he sees beyond the chit-chat. Those kind of things, you want a drink? Yeah, I want a drink. How you doing? Da-da-da. He sees who she really is. And in that encounter, she knows him as Messiah because she experiences in his listening to her, in his knowing her, not shame, but love. Isn't that amazing? She knows it is Christ out of love. If she experiences hope because he listens, she receives love out of the way he listens to her. Now, my counseling practice is full of people who come in and share and talk. And sometimes they talk about things that's hard for them to talk about because we're in a church. And sometimes they talk about things, and I'll say to them, "Well, now, have you talked to God?" And it's like, I can't talk with God. We get afraid of what God's going to say back to us. Or even worse, that he won't want to listen. That he'll distance himself from us. He'll be horrified. When what God wants is to love us. To love us. To hold us accountable. But to love us. The part of the scripture that isn't here, but I got to tell you, it had to have been there. We just don't have the words for it. It's what the woman experiences. She told her story, and then she told her story being told to her. And she looked into Jesus' eyes. Can you imagine what it would be to experience his eyes, knowing our lives? And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't condemnation. Hold me accountable, but I love you. You are mine. You are beloved. You are my beloved child. There's a book by Alice Miller called The Drama of the Gifted Child. She's a psychologist, and one of the things she talks about is that as children, we absolutely need unconditional love. And we do. Our parents teach us responsibility, hopefully. It's part of what we need. But as children, we need, when we mess up, to know that mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa are going to unconditionally love us. Now, sometimes we don't get that. And some of us didn't get that growing up. And when we don't, it's something to grieve, and we have to grieve it. We know as adults we are accountable for our actions. We need to be accountable for our actions. But where we receive unconditional love all of our lives, even if we don't as children, is from our Father in God. We come to the Father, and our story is known, our story is held, and we are loved anyway. The last thing that I want to point out that I think we receive from this story is what God holds us accountable for, and that is compassion. The woman at the well receives compassion. We come to the well to receive compassion, and we are to give compassion. Now, what is compassion? Compassion, the word compassion, comes from the root that literally means to suffer with. Now, hear this. When we think we're compassionate people, really think about what compassion means. It means to suffer with. It means to enter the dark moments of others. to walk in places of pain, to not flinch or look away when another agonizes. It means to stay where people suffer. And sometimes that's hard. That's hard. But that's our Christ. It's what he does with the woman at the well. And it's what he calls us to do as we receive and give. I want to tell you a story this morning that is a hard, hard story. It's a hard story to tell. It's a hard story to hear. I give that as a guide to parents. If you have young tender ones, this is tough. I thank Mike Minix, who told it to me and had trouble getting through it. And I hope I can tell it. It's tough. And I thank Betty Fribbins, who led us to this through text sample. And here's the story. There was a man by the name of Don Bakely. There is a man. He's a pastor in Camden, New Jersey. Pastor of a church. And around his church is a very rough area, and there are many gangs. Don Bakely wanted to connect with those gangs of kids, for I think he loved his church inside and outside. And so he wanted to connect with these kids. And he kept thinking, now how can I do this? Well, he was a wrestler. He's a pretty good wrestler. So he challenged him a bit. And there was this one big kid, not as big as Mike, I'm sure, but he was a big kid. And this kid took him on. And they wrestled. And Don Bakely won. Well, one by one, the kids in this gang would take on Preacher Man. And they'd wrestle. And one by one, Don Bakely was able to hold us on. And he gained the respect of these kids. Preacher Man's not too bad. And his greatest hope was that they would come in the church. And one day, now they started hanging out, but one day they came inside. Now, I don't know what he did with them. But I'm guessing maybe they had something like a multipurpose room, a gym. He may have gotten involved in basketball. Somehow, he got them occupied. And this is interesting to me. The story says he went down the hall and he left his door open, his study door open. Boy, isn't that trust? Here are these rough kids. He brings them in. He can hear what's going on, but he can't see. After a while, he hears this kid, Big Mark, he hears this kid scream a filthy obscenity at the top of his lungs. And you can guess, it was horrendous. As a woman, I would have been so offended, the hairs on my hair would have stood up. You blankety blank! And Don Bakely shakes his head and says, oh, my Lord, the first time they come to the church, this is what happens. Sure enough, in a few moments, he hears this thump, 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 thump. And this woman comes into his office, Miss Ella. Now, Miss Ella was a sweet, sweet older woman. Gentle, a little fragile. She comes into his office and she is fuming. And she says to him, did you hear what they called me? And he said, yes, Miss Ella, I did. I'm so sorry. And she said, well, I want to know what you're going to do about it. Now, if that had been me, I'd have said, go talk to Mike. But he didn't have a Mike on his staff. He said to her, you know, what are you going to do about it? She said, this is what I'm doing. I'm coming to you. I want you to kick them out of the church. Well, he got her to slow down and sit down in his office. And he said, "Miss Ella, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a story. And when you hear this story, if you feel, well, no, I'm going to tell you a story. I want you to go home. I don't want you to immediately respond. I want you to really think about it, pray about it. And when you've had a chance for it to really work inside you, come back. And if then you feel that these kids need to be thrown out of this church, I respect you. I will do that." And he proceeds to tell this story. One day there was a boy. And the boy's dad was a drinker. And the boy's dad came home one day, and he was in a raging drunk state. And he was so angry, and he got angrier and angrier. And he and his wife got into a horrible fight. And in this fight, in front of the children, he murdered his wife. Beat her to a pulp. Murdered her. And then he went into the kitchen to get a butcher knife. Now, I'm guessing those children fled. They saw him going into the kitchen to get that knife. I'm sure they just ran for fear. And he comes back in and he took this knife and he severed her head. Now, this little boy made a whimpering noise, some kind of noise. And Don Bakley said when the dad heard that noise, he picked up her head and he threw it. And it hit this child. And it knocked him down. It knocked him out. And when he came to, he was on top of his mother's severed head. Don Bakley looked at Miss Ella and he said, "Miss Ella, that child that screamed at you, Big Mark, that was that child." He said, "Miss Ella left. She went home. And after about 20 minutes, she came back. And she said, came in the doorway," and he's thinking, this is not a good sign. 20 minutes is not long enough for that story to be absorbed. It's hard to hear. It's hard to tell. He said, she came in and she said, "Well, Pastor, I guess I'm just going to have to learn how to get cussed at." And Don Bakley said, "That's the day ministry began in our church." When we hear a person's story, or when we get the behavior that's evidence that we don't know the story, but it comes out of the pain of another person's life. When we hear that kind of story, as the woman at the well did, and we are loved, and we are not shamed, but we're called beloved, and we understand that, and we can give compassion, for we know compassion. Our ministry as a congregation, honestly, most often happens outside these walls. We kind of clean up, we do better in here. But when it comes into our home, when we encounter people in our lives who are in pain and acting out of pain, or we find ourselves acting out some kind of a pain. We don't want shame. We don't need shame. We need compassion. We need hope. We need love. So as I end this sermon, I'll say for you and for me, we need to come to the well. We need to draw close to God. We need to be as honest as we can. We need to talk. We need to share. And I promise you, what you will receive from our God is not condemnation, but a loving God who's missed you, who loves you. He wants you to do better, but He wants you to be with Him. And when we're with Him, we are better. Come to the well and be transformed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.